This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Last weekend, I tweeted shame on Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri for inviting Dr. Oz to appear before her Senate hearing this week on diet scams because he promotes them on his TV show all the time. On Wednesday, they had the hearing, and I now owe an apology to Senator McCaskill because she held Dr. Oz's feet to the fire, and she was raring to go.
Now, here's three statements you made on your show. You may think magic is make-believe, but this little bean has scientists saying they found the magic weight loss cure for every body type. It's green coffee extract. Quote, I've got the number one miracle in a bottle to burn your fat. It's raspberry ketone. Quote, Garcinia cambogia, it may be the simple solution you've been looking for to bust your body fat for good. I don't get why you need to say this stuff because you know it's not true. So why, when you have this amazing megaphone and this amazing ability to communicate, why would you cheapen your show by saying things like that?
That was Senator Claire McCaskill at the Senate hearing this week. Here was part of Dr. Oz's answer.
If I can just get across the big message that I actually do personally believe in the items that I talk about in the show. I passionately study them. I recognize that oftentimes they don't have the scientific muster to present as fact, but nevertheless, I would give my audience the advice I give my family all the time, and I've given my family these products, specifically the ones you mentioned, then I'm comfortable with that part. Where I do think I've made it more difficult for the FTC is that in an intent to engage viewers, I used flowery language. I used language that was very passionate, but it ended up not being helpful, but incendiary. And it provided fodder for unscrupulous advertisers.
Yeah, he tells his family to use products that don't pass scientific muster and don't have facts to back them up. That is not science. My next two guests know a little bit about Dr. Oz because they wrote a great investigative piece about him last year. Julia Belews is a senior editor with the Medical Post, and Dr. Stephen Hoffman is an instructor at the Harvard School of Public Health. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Julia, I'll start with you. What did you think of what happened on Capitol Hill this week?
Oh, I thought it was really interesting. But the one thing was that I was just surprised that it took this long. He's been on air on his own show since 2009. And then before that, he was a regular guest on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And he's been kind of saying these ridiculous claims about supplements and other health claims that aren't really backed by evidence for a number of years. So maybe, I don't know, it would have been nice if this had happened sooner.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's been too long, and unfortunately, Congress can't really do much about this. Only the Federal Trade Commission can actually crack down on people making these kind of claims, and those products, quoting Dr. Oz and his positive reviews of their products on their labels, is something only the FTC can do. And the FTC, as we know, doesn't really do much about these bogus health supplements. I mean, they don't do anything about homeopathy, for goodness sake. Stephen, what did you think of Dr. Oz and his rather slick performance before Senate this week?
Well, I think the incredible thing is really, like Julia said, how long it's taken, but also that things have been allowed to get so bad that Congress had to get involved. I mean, this is really this case is really emblematic of broken systems that we have by way that people like Dr. Oz are able to communicate bogus health claims that aren't based on the best available evidence to a mass patient audience.
I know we have people who are listening to us today who have followed Dr. Oz's advice and have tried these things and say, okay, it didn't work for me, but what's the harm? If it's not making anybody sick, what's the harm in selling these things, Stephen?
Well, some of them aren't necessarily so safe. I mean, when we have a study, for example, Dr. Oz has talked about raspberry ketones, promoting them, calling them miracles in a bottle. And so that's a product where there have been studies, but there've only been studies in rodents and cells, never in humans. And so we have no idea when Dr. Oz said that, whether it could cause harm or not. So it's not necessarily that they're not going to cause harm. They could. But also, it's just a waste of money. There's so much money spent on healthcare and so many other places where this money could go, that would be so much better. And ultimately, people like Dr. Oz are undermining credibility of the scientific enterprise of medicine, which we are at a point today where we have more knowledge about our health than ever before. And yet, because of information, the health information pollution that people like Dr. Oz are spewing, it's becoming increasingly difficult for people to figure out what should they be doing for their health.
Here's another little bit of Senator McCaskill at the hearing this week.
I'm surprised that you are defending, I've tried to really do a lot of research in preparation for this trial, and the scientific community is almost monolithic against you in terms of the efficacy of the three products that you call miracles. And when you call a product a miracle, and it's something you can buy, and it's something that gives people false hope, I just don't understand why you need to go there. You've got so much you do on your show that makes it different and controversial enough that you get lots of views. I understand you're in a business of getting viewers.
And by the way, she called it a trial. It was not a trial, but she used to be a prosecutor, and she had the zeal of a prosecutor. Here's what Dr. Oz said in response.
My job, I feel, on the show is to be a cheerleader for the audience. And when they don't think they have hope, when they don't think they can make it happen, I want to look, and I do look everywhere, including in alternative healing traditions.
Julia, isn't he really talking about false hope here?
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. And the first clip you played earlier in the show, he uses the word believe. And I think anyone who works in science or in medicine would know that you don't really want to go on belief and on hope to make decisions for patients. You want to use evidence. And I think that's where the problem lies. He's a physician, and people put their trust in health professionals like him. And there's this issue, there's this tension between him as a performer and as a TV host and as a celebrity, a media personality, and then the fact that he's also a physician. I think there's some confusion there, and he's misleading his audience.
There was a writer for Salon named Mary Elizabeth Williams who wrote a piece this week, and she said, the problem for Dr. Oz is that medical revolutions don't happen 5 days a week, and yet he has to be on the air an hour a day, 5 days a week, and he's got to come up with stuff, and so instead of real science, he's going to the thousands of fake products that are out there that aren't really working. Right, Julia?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Stephen, has the FTC started cracking down at all on the companies that are making these bogus products since your investigation last year, or any of this other evidence has come out against them and Oz?
I don't know the latest on what the FCT has been doing. I know that this hearing at Congress was in response to some efforts by the FCT to start cracking down on claims of these weight loss treatments that aren't prescribed by doctors and that are just sort of available, and which we often see Dr. Oz's face on, although he's acknowledged without his permission. But it does show that there is lots more room for action. And it's not just the FCT, though. What Julia was saying about how Dr. Oz is going on his show, 5 days a week, making sure everyone knows he's a doctor. Earlier that day, he did a surgery. His show is called The Dr. Oz Show. He's practicing medicine on TV. He's practicing mass medicine to virtual patients. And so it's not just the FCT, the FTC that has to get involved. The medical profession as well has a role here.
Are you saying that his title and his appearance, showing up sometimes in scrubs or a lab coat on his TV show, is adding to the phoniness?
He's going to great lengths to make sure that his audience knows that he is a medical doctor. He's a board-certified cardiothoracic surgeon. He has positions at Columbia University, the medical school there. He goes to great lengths to emphasize that. And so then, immediately after, when he's giving what's something that sounds like medical advice, even though it's not based on evidence, it's giving credibility that's totally undeserved.
Julia, my worry about this is that Dr. Oz is going to be able to go forward and say, look, I'm only caring about my patients. I'm only trying to do good for them. And what McCaskill told him was, look, do you want to help people? Tell them there's no magic pill that will make you lose weight, period.
So, yeah, when I interviewed him, what he told me was he wouldn't have a show if he did that. He said his exact line was that if you went through my show line by line, you'd see three quarters of what I say is evidence-based, and then another quarter is kind of that glitzy stuff, the icing on the cake. And if I didn't have that ounce of pizzazz, I wouldn't have a show. So
yeah, well, you know what? That would be a good thing if he didn't have a show. Julia Baluz is a National Magazine award-winning journalist covering medicine, public policy, and health policy. And Stephen Hoppen is an instructor at the Harvard School of Public Health and an assistant professor at McMaster University. Thanks to both of you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Paul Harris. America.